Welcome to the Book Shame Book Club.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Elle.
We are here to talk about dirty books.
This week, we are digging into the friends to lovers trope. This is an explicit podcast, so if you have any children in the room, you shouldn't have them in the room.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, banging and hanging.
What is
fuck
that?
Buddies.
What is banging and hanging
it's
even?
Like when, I think it's like Netflix and chill. Hold on, we have one more. Sexually transmitted emotions. I really like that one.
Hi, Emily.
Hi, Elle.
This is another episode recorded during our podcast retreat cabin trip.
I know, that's why I still sound so perky, because we haven't been forced to return to society yet.
I think one of my favorite parts of this trip has been using your Tinder.
I set it up just for you, but I'm also having fun, so maybe dating won't be so awful after all. When I listen to this episode in a couple weeks, I'm going to be like, nope, you were wrong. It was awful.
I don't know. It'll be fun. Like, I'll get to look back and be like, oh, yeah, all those guys I...
I swiped for Emily, and then she didn't meet any of them.
They didn't work out.
No. But it's really fun. It is. It's like an arcade game.
So we have read so many books this week, and we both hit pretty big milestones on our Goodreads challenges.
Right. So I hit my 100th book for the year, and my goal is 150. So I'm like right on track.
And I hit my, 150.
She hit my goal.
So, and I'm 25 books ahead of schedule. So.
I think I'm 7 books ahead of schedule now.
And I have to get a job when my kids go to school. So I'm really trying to like get ahead of this game so that when I go get
I'm actually really looking forward to this.
When I get a job I can't read all the time, I'm
looking forward to like when you can only read as much as I can read. And then I feel like it'll be like we're on a more even playing field then.
You're gonna be like it's gonna be like such schadenfreude for you.
It's gonna be very satisfying. So I finished the new Karina Halley last night, and it was my 100th book, which is Wild Card. And it was the first book in the new like cowboy series that she's writing, and it was really, really good. It was like super hot.
Oh,
it was, are like, they a like second chance slow burn?
Are they like modern cowboys?
Mm-hmm.
Are they Texas or like Colorado?
No, they're Canada.
Canadian cowboys?
Yeah, they're like in like the upper whatever like
provinces.
Yeah, and they're like Canadian cowboys.
Wait, they have cowboys up there?
They have like cattle ranches and stuff.
What?
They have to get their meat from someplace.
Cattle can grow up there?
Yeah.
It's not like too cold?
I mean, there's grass in the summer, just like in Colorado.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was really good.
That sounds great.
And I'm like super excited for the next one. And they're like, there's going to be 3 books about 3 brothers. And so I'm pretty pumped. I think I read it in under a day. So.
Yeah. We both read the new Kay Webster, which is like super, that like controversial one.
It is causing a lot of drama in the romance land.
Wild.
Yeah. It's probably calmed down by the time we release this. But
yeah,
right now there's been just like a lot of talk.
And it was like banned on Amazon, which I think like
and the banned
made,
on,
the, made it made the sales.
It got
really
banned on
jumped up.
Smashwords, too.
Wow.
I think the only place you can get it now is like literally on her website. Like no one else is having it.
Wow.
And so we both read it, and I mean, it was
it
definitely
wasn't really my kink.
It was not my kink. It was, I don't know whose kink this is, guys. After I read it, I needed to like brain bleach.
It was a little nope for me. It was
right.
A lot of nope for me.
Yeah, I mean the writing was good.
Yeah, the writing was fine.
And I think if this, and we're not gonna like spoil it, but like I think that if this, the actual like bones of the story had been written out without that particular taboo, I think I would have really enjoyed it.
Yeah, because I really do like Lost in the Wilderness books.
Oh, for sure. It's like all that hardship porn.
Yeah, we are going to have a Lost in the Wilderness podcast for sure. I'm already like making a list of books for that one, which this one will not be.
No.
Well, maybe it will be. Maybe we should put it on our Lost in the Wilderness podcast.
I don't know, man. We'll talk about it, because like I don't know how much I can like talk about like the things that happened in that book without coming across like I'm like
kink shaming.
I'm like put this person in jail. Like, so if you guys are curious, you're gonna have to get the book from Kay Webster's website.
Do some Googling. I'm sure everybody's like shouting in all caps.
Oh yes, it was like a big like. It was every like, single author
everybody
group
was titillated
in, and yeah, it was
quite a drama
scene.
It was
a lot of drama.
I've been reading a lot of priest books this week because we're trying to get ready for a priest podcast.
Yeah, I read two, and one was by Kay Webster, and it was like way less controversial than the other one.
Yeah, it was, that one was okay.
Yeah.
But I'm currently reading a priest book that's like really fun. It's like a historical.
It's set in like 1100, right?
Something like that. And he's like a monk.
It's way back.
Somebody just got their head chopped off, and I love it. It's like Game of Thrones.
Only with, I guess.
No dragons.
Well, I was going to say except with doing it, but like there's a lot of doing it in Game of Thrones, so that would have been
But nobody's doing their sister.
Yet.
They are in the K. Webster, but.
We managed to watch Game of Thrones like from the cabin because we have Wi-Fi, and it was, I mean, I don't know if you guys watch Game of Thrones, but this season has just been like.
It's been really good.
Everything's happening. Like, I'm so excited.
All the things we want to happen are finally happening.
I just keep freaking out because everyone's in the same room together finally. It's like all these people are like finally in the same place together, and it's like giving me like a TV boner, and I can't even handle it.
Although like emo Bran is like,
I know emo Bran.
I just want to roll my eyes every time he's on TV. He's like, oh Sansa, you wouldn't understand. I'm not Bran anymore.
I'm the Three-Eyed Raven. Spoilers like, for Game of Thrones,
like,
guys.
She's like, what's the Three-Eyed Raven? Oh, you wouldn't understand. It's too complicated.
Right.
It's like, shut up, Bran.
And she's like, can just one of my siblings, like,
could you just tell me what it is?
Like, right. Could you try to explain it to me? He is the worst. But everyone else is like pretty great.
Everybody else is pretty great, yeah. And I cannot wait for like the ice and the fire to get together and fuck, because like that's totally gonna happen, and they're gonna make a baby.
That ice and fire baby? That ice and fire incest baby?
Ice and the fire are gonna make an incest baby. Like, right. It's gonna happen.
I mean, I don't think it's not gonna happen.
And like, there will be an ice dragon.
Okay. She's saying it right now, folks.
There will be an ice dragon.
She's like, she's making her Game of Thrones predictions.
I don't think it'll be this season, because I don't see how the dragons are going to get up there during this next episode.
Right.
But there's going to be an ice dragon next season.
Okay. Yeah, the season finale is on Sunday.
So.
Yeah. I have kind of a date on Sunday.
Although, you guys aren't going to be listening to this for another, like, month and a half.
Right.
So.
But I told the guy, I said, like, I'm
so
gonna...
these won't even be spoilers, because it'll be, like...
It's true. But I told the guy that I was supposed to, like meet on Sunday. I was like, I'm going to have to, like...
Meet on Sunday. Meet, quotation marks.
Meet with an A. I'm going to have to, like, watch Game of Thrones. I've got priorities, guys. And zombie battle is a priority.
Okay, let's talk about some Friends to Lovers books.
All right.
These ones are, like, almost always home runs for us because, like, I don't know. It's, like, the idea of the guy that you've known forever. And
he's seen you in your ratty pajamas and held your hand through breakups. And suddenly he realizes, like, he can't live without you.
It's, like, not really realistic for this guy to just, like, have a light bulb go off.
Right. It makes me think of Sharon Clueless when she's like, oh, I like Josh.
But it's so satisfying.
It's super satisfying. These guys, like, they already know your family. They know what food you like. They've seen you at your worst. And I don't know. It's like, just really sweet and romantic. You think of this guy that's always been around.
And then they're just going to bone. And, like, of course they're going to have a happy ever after because, like...
They're already so compatible. They're already friends.
They're already perfect.
They're already, like, entwining each other's lives.
Yeah.
So we've read it. I think we've read a ton of these. But
yes,
the issue we were running into when we were putting this podcast together is that we'd covered so many of them already in like different.
And we'd cover so many of these authors at such great.
Right. And another thing too was that
we were like, oh, we shouldn't like do another one.
Or like there were a couple of them we were like, oh, this one is. I'm like, oh, but we covered that one in sports. Or like this one is, but we covered that one in like this.
Yeah. So we were digging a little bit for this one. But we were also trying to like go with books where it wasn't like, oh, they like became best friends and then they started sleeping together. Cause I'm like, well, that's actually just
right.
Like,
or they were always attractive, but they decided to be friends.
The normal like progression of a romance, like they had to be like friends for a long time.
Right. We had rules.
Yeah.
All right. So do you want to dig into these?
Let's dig in. First up today is a new release from an author who's quickly becoming one of our absolute favorites. This is So Good by Nicola Rendell.
In So Good, Rose and Max have been best friends since high school. When he realizes that he is in fact madly in love with her and can't live without her, he just needs to convince her that it's a good idea.
Doing it in this book is at 24%.
And it's really hot.
Yeah.
Like, it's really good.
Yeah, it was
pretty great.
I mean, I think they're doing it in like all of her books is...
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I like so much is that like they're like these really, really sweet romances with this like really dirty sex.
Really dirty. And it's like always nice and early.
Yes.
Super early.
She gives you like exactly what she...
Did you ever read Professed?
I haven't read Professed. Oh, I've read Hail Mary.
Professed, like, just pretty like much, that. Like, opens up with, like, filthy hotel room sex.
Do we
sex.
Have that?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll download it.
It's really great. I think Confessed is the only one we don't have.
Okay, so we started reading Nicola Rendell's books this year when Elle picked up Hail Mary, and she loved it. And
no, when I picked up Professed.
Really? That you
read? I read that one first.
I didn't hear about it until Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Because then you were like, champagne bottle.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Champagne bottle?
Spoilers.
Right, but it's, I mean, she's basically an auto buy for us yeah. now.
She's a pre-order. But yeah, if you haven't read anything by her, you just like, just go look at her books and
buy them all.
Pick the one that sounds the best to you and just click it. Cause yeah. They're all good. So Good is about Max, who's like a carpenter, which is woo catnip mm-hmm. in
just
a small,
like, just like real life Harrison Ford.
Yeah. Which is, you know, obviously like one of our
right
fantasies, in a small town in Maine, which is, you know, another catnip for us. And he's working on his best friend Rose's, like, dead grandma's house, which is, like, a massive fixer-upper, when he, like, spies her naked through the skylight while she's getting changed in her bedroom.
And he almost falls off the roof because he's like, holy shit, like, that's Rose, and she is so hot. And I feel, isn't it like a stream of light hits her, and he's like, holy shit, I'm in love with her, basically?
Yeah, yeah. So,
he's just like, he just knows, and he decides like that's
he decides it. Like he's like, oh my god, it's like a light switch, like
right,
I have to,
I'm in love with her, and that's it. Like, yeah, he's all in.
So he's like, you know, breaks up one of her first dates and like
right
makes a play for her, and
right
he's like on board right from the beginning, but she has some like hesitations, and there's like small right. town.
Well, she doesn't want to mess up their friendship because it's been so good for so long.
Yeah, which is a pretty big thing in, you know,
right.
Friends to Lovers books. One of them, it never wants to mess up the friendship.
I feel like every Nicola Rendell we've read, the guys have been like super all in.
Yeah.
Like she writes these like really like hot, dirty heroes who are just like crazy yeah, in love with the girls this. Like right away. And I yeah. that's such a catnip for me, because I think we read a lot of books where it's like the alpha male who like can't love anyone, and he like doesn't realize that like he actually loves her until like 97%, and then he's like, oh, I guess I do love them. Like yeah.
No, but like this guy, he like he warms up the chocolate for her s'mores in his pocket,
right, by his hot ass.
Yeah,
they have like super hot sex,
and like I think that there's dogs involved in this series.
Oh yeah, it's called the Alpha Dogs,
and I think that because there was a dog involved in the other.
Yeah, but that's not the same series, because this is book one.
Oh.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I don't know what's going on then, because there was a big dog in the last book.
Yeah,
too.
This one has a little dog, because Max lives on a houseboat, but not for, like, not because he's triggered by houses, like Captain in that Abby Glines book. He lives in a houseboat because, like, he wants to, and, like, we approve of it. And he sees this, like, little, like, tiny chihuahua who's somehow gotten into, I guess it, like, would be, like, the ocean, right? Because they're in Maine?
Like, yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
And he, like, rescues this little chihuahua, and he like, loves her and buys her like a pink sweater and like a pink like car carrier for his car, and like yeah. names her Cupcake, and
it's real cute. But they have the you know, the relationship like goes back and forth because there's just like all sorts of little hijinks and emotional issues, and
it was just really satisfying. This is what I read.
So great.
This is what I read after that Kay Webster book when I needed to like bleach my brain.
Yeah, this was, perfect. This is like when you talk about like, oh, I like to read romances. This is like, this is what
right
it is. This is what it means when you like to read romance. It's
right.
like the,
it's well written. There's like wonderful banter. The characters are just like really likable, and it just makes you feel like just like you just feel
it's
like
a
happy.
Great setting. Yeah, and it's gonna give you this like perfect happy ending. There's just enough drama, but it's not so not much so, drama so that it's gonna like
right.
make your chest hurt.
And then like with the, or like so much dumb book behavior that you like want to throw your Kindle against a wall.
Yes, yes.
I actually think that the next
also there's
one,
like no condoms in this book.
All right, they're not even like the first time. It was
which
like
is
not
like,
even.
You know,
like a pretense.
I mean, like, I hate to say it, but like I really love that.
I mean, same. Like, obviously you guys
I'm
should
like,
have safe
you guys
sex.
Everybody should have safe sex, but like
right
I mean, like, I'm like a 35 year old mom and I'm married and like
right
you know
right I mean, like, use condoms, don't fuck Nazis, have safe sex.
Yeah,
but in our book sex, if someone's going to be like, taking you hard and unprotected.
It's kind of hot.
We're not, we're not going to mind. I think the next book, though, is going to be about Fletcher, who's the guy who owns the bar.
Oh, I like that.
And he has a dog. He was like real a nice. Big dog. I think his dog is named Captain. We have like a trigger now. But like, I read this book so fast and it was just enjoyable. I feel like it was like a perfect summer vacation book.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So definitely pick this one up. I give it like an A.
Same.
All of her books are A's.
A Vegas marriage that led to friendship finally turns to romance in Christina Loren's Dark Wild Night.
Lola and Oliver got married one drunken night in Vegas, but got the union annulled and have been friends ever since. Friends who are starting to have some real dirty thoughts about each other.
The doing it in this one happens at 43%, which is early, but I still felt like it felt like such a slow burn to get there.
This felt like a very slow burn book. And so in this series, there's three couples. Well, and then there's kind of a fourth couple, but they're not.
But the original like three.
Trio.
Right.
Yeah. They all got married.
In Vegas one night. Like just like drunkenly by chance.
Yeah. And one couple stayed together and the other two just got it annulled.
Right. And but this is the third book.
And so they're the third couple to finally get back together.
So Lola and Oliver.
I loved every single book in this series. This whole series was great.
I think I love everything they've ever written.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right. And they started out writing like 50 Shades fanfic. Yeah. And they are just amazing. Their books are super funny and the sex is crazy hot.
Yeah.
So Lola and Oliver are the last pair who were married, but they haven't even hooked up yet. So they just like got an annulled like right away. They've like kept things in the friend zone, but they're like really good friends now.
Yep. And so Oliver is this like really hot nerd with glasses who owns a comic book store.
Right. And Lola makes comics. And
she's a comic book writer.
And one of her comics is being made into a movie, and she's got like a lot of like...
She's very famous.
Right. And she's got a lot of job stress happening with that because she like...
Kind of freaking out about it.
Yeah, because it's like a big thing and she like wants to make sure it's done right, and she's kind of like at this really stressful place in her life, and
Oliver is very supportive of her.
Right. He's kind of like her like emotional rock. And so they're also like they're both crushing on each other, but like they've never said anything, and it's like really adorable because they're both like pining to take it to the next level, but
neither of them will really make any kind of a move on it.
Right, like a stalemate.
Yeah, they're sort of like doing that like nerd thing where they dance around each other. There's this really great scene where she is like sketching him because she's just I don't know, she's trying to get over some like writer's block or something.
No, I think she was like working on like her making her like her male body's more realistic. There was something contrived. Right, something.
She needed to sketch him. So he like is like laying on the floor in his boxers.
Right.
And
it's like in a shaft of sunlight.
Yeah, and he's like she's just describing how she's like all of a sudden her like mouth is dry and she just can see him like half hard in his boxers and she can tell
and
that he's like he's just like uncut.
And she says like if he's a grower, he could knock a woman's teeth out.
Yes.
So it's like just so big. And it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Guys, if it sounds like I'm leaning out of the way, it's because like I'm scratching the 5 million mosquito bites that I have. So I'm dying, guys.
Which was also kind of fun because I feel like there aren't a whole lot of books.
With uncut.
Romance. Yeah. Romances where they specify.
We asked. Who was it that we asked?
Oh, it was Karina Halley.
Oh, yeah. He was not. But like we always like... We give extra points if they're uncut.
Yeah, we were like, is he a bishop or a monk? And she was like, what are you even talking about?
We're like, turtleneck or a crew cut? They were like, all the other girls in the group were like, you guys. We're like, yeah, this is what we're like. You should see our private conversations where we're like not even trying to keep it clean. Now we have a real podcast so we can talk about how much we like uncircumcised penises. Yeah, but
everybody started penis shaming. Like,
I know.
I was like... Like, the whole world is not circumcised.
It's true. Just America.
It's, like, really hot.
Have you sampled the International Dong Buffet?
We're not talking about this on this podcast.
God damn it. Fine.
So, been around the world, da da da. What's that song?
It's like, is that like P. Diddy? Can't find my, no, it's like, I've been around the world, I can't find my baby, that one.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's, like, a 90s something, like a... I don't know. We'll Google it.
Okay.
So when I was reading this one, Elle was reading a little bit ahead of me, and she warned me that I might want to wait until after we got the kids tucked in to read it, because it was just so hot.
It was super, super
like filthy. All the sex scenes were just like, right, it was like the kind of thing where like I could not have like read this with my children in the room like without feeling dirty.
So I will say that like there's a lot of like Lola pissed me off so much.
Yeah, I think of all of the heroines they've ever written, Lola made like her dumb book behavior was like really spectacular, and Oliver was just like so like solid and sweet and like
patient. And Lola probably annoyed me like in all of the annoying heroines I've ever read, she's in the top 10 for me. But the rest of this book was so great.
Right.
And everything was so hot in it that, like, I still count this as, like, one of my...
Oh, for sure. And,
you know, I still would put this in my top 25 books.
And they were so... That's the thing is, like, they were such
even good, though I like, hated Lola.
They were such good, solid friends, though. Like, they had, like, all these things that they bonded over. And they, like, just genuinely enjoyed spending time with each other. And
but for, like, I will say that for, like, 25% of this book, you're going to want to, like, take Lola and drown her in a bathtub.
Right. So
like just shake her really hard.
Do you remember that we were like reading this and we met to have like coffee like by my office or something? And you like were kept trying to read and I was like mad at you because I was like, we're like having coffee together. Can you like look at me? And you were like, you don't understand what's happening in this book. And then I went home and I was reading. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Now I understand why like you needed to finish the book. But I was like, can you look at me?
A lot of times like Emily will go out on dates together and we'll just like read in right. public together.
Right. Like we had a fire here and we just like read for 2 hours by the fire and it was like really nice. Or like when we go to a movie, we get there half an hour early so we can read in the theater before the movie starts.
Yes.
That's but like, I do.
Sometimes we'll read at restaurants together too.
That's true. But I tend to be like chattier than Elle. And so I'm always like, can we talk about stuff? I feel bad this whole vacation because she's been trying to read and I've been like, but I want to hear my own voice.
So, I don't know. I love this one. Right. I would get this whole series.
Just buy the whole fucking series.
I would read it in order because, like, Ansel was hot.
Finn
was hot.
Ansel is so hot.
Oliver was hot.
Yeah. I'm into it.
Their whole thing was great.
I mean, I think they're all A's.
Yeah.
So, just buy all of these books. The Wild Season books. Christina Lauren. Buy them all.
Great A.
This is one I haven't read. A steamy, emotional, male-male, friends to lovers that Elle won't stop telling me to read. This is Hothead by Damon Swade.
In Hothead, two hot fireman besties go gay for pay and things get complicated.
The doing it in this one happens at 78%, which is like, I'm like, that's so far in. I'm surprised that you're like such a champion of it.
Well, so the doing it is at 78% and we're talking about technical.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Because we don't count our doing it until like there's P and the B or the V or P and the something.
Yes. There has to be like
a P and a something.
Yeah. A penile penetration.
Yes, that's not like not in a mouth.
Yeah, like we had this like drunken discussion about this once. It was like
right and like
because we were trying to like clarify like what does it count? You know,
right, does it start when like the foreplay starts?
When the fingering starts?
Right, like, we're like nope, it's got to be
it's got to be like penile penetration.
If the Catholic Church doesn't think it's sex, then neither do we. Because you guys, we're nothing if like not adherent to like the rules of the church. This is an alt-left religious dirty book podcast.
Alt-left.
That's us. Alt-left all day long.
But yeah, so this book is like actually like extremely filthy and starts out, you know, the dirtiness starts out like much earlier. But it's also really emotional and like heartfelt. And this book...
I feel like you get more emotional about the male-male than you do the female-male.
I wouldn't say that that's true, but like this book was like super emotional.
Okay, tell me what happens.
Okay, so... This book is about Griff and Dante, who like grew up in Brooklyn, and they've been best friends since like childhood. They're just besties, and they both have been like they're both firefighters in the same precinct.
I don't think they're called. I think it's the same house.
The same ladders.
Yes,
they're the same ladder.
Okay.
And like so, Griff is like this big, giant ginger.
Into it.
And Dante is this like. Really hot Italian guy.
Okay.
From like a traditional Italian family. And like, you know, the FDNY isn't like super gay friendly.
Right.
So Griff like kind of is like realizing that he's like probably not straight, but he's like hiding it.
Okay. How old are these guys?
I don't know, like late 20s.
That's like late to come to the realization that
well, no, he's like I think he's been like realizing it for a while,
but now he's like
But he's like, he's just like hiding it. And like, you know, everybody will be like, hook up with that girl. And he's like, eh, you know, he's like always trying to like just blow it off.
I don't like her mustache.
Yeah.
She doesn't have, it's not big enough. I'd like a bigger mustache.
And like, you know, Dante is like, just, you know, he's always like got a girl and everything. So, but they're like, you know, Griff just like loves him. And then one day, like Dante tells Griff that like he is like really tight for money and he's going to lose his house that he bought because he like bought this house and he's like totally underwater on his mortgage. And he needed cash fast. So he signed up for this like porn website, for this like gay porn website where he like went and like jerked off in his like fireman outfit. And like they gave him like a lot of money and that, you know.
Right.
And he's like probably going to do it again.
And I mean, no harm, no foul.
No harm, no foul.
Right.
And so Griff is like, he like really tries not to watch it. He's like, I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to watch it. And then he like
watches it.
He watches it. And he's like, oh, fuck. He's like, I'm totally in love with my best friend. And he feels super guilty about it because he's like, this is my best friend. Like, how can I be lusting after him? This is like.
When like he doesn't even know that I'm like into that.
Yeah. And like, you know, this is like so awful of me.
It's like a violation.
It's a violation of him. Yeah. And he, you know, like watches the video like 10,000 times.
Right.
You know, like gets a membership to the website and everything. Like,
so you can just like watch it on a loop?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Dante like comes back at him and he's like, so like, you know, the guy says that if we like go together and jerk off together, we'll like
make like double the money,
extra money. And like, you know, I really need money and like, you're my best friend. And like, you know, it wouldn't be weird. And, you know, I know you do, you know, you do anything. Griff is like,
it wouldn't be weird if we just like jerked off together on camera.
And Griff is like, and Griff's like, you know, I know you do anything for me. You know, I would do anything for you. And he's like, you know, he's like, he's like, I love you. Like, you're my best friend. And so, of course, they like go and.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And like things like it just kind of like starts escalating from there because there's like extras they can do. And like, you know, Griff like goes to these things and he's trying to like kind of like hold back and like he's, but like Dante is like shooting off on his chest and like wiping it all in and everything. You know what I mean? Like
right.
He's just like getting really filthy. And then like, you know, things escalate and he, you know, Griff is trying to figure out like, is he like actually kind of into me?
Right. Or
you know,
is this like just for the money?
Is this just for the money? Like, am I just. Like
right.
Reading too much into this. So I don't know. The whole thing is like super emotional, but it's also like pretty much the hottest like sex stuff
ever?
In a book ever. I mean, it's like ridiculous. It's like super ridiculous.
So I take it you're into this?
I was like way into this.
I feel like you read this a while ago and you like, you still talk about
it. I've read this book like 3 times, which I don't do.
You don't, you never reread.
I never reread.
Because you get like annoyed at me when I'm like, oh yeah, I'm just rereading this. And I can hear you like internally like, we have 9,000 books. Why are you rereading something?
No, but it's like, I mean, it's just so heartfelt. I mean, like, oh.
You love the angst.
I love the angst. And I also love the fact that they're a fireman and he's like a ginger. He's this big, giant, like, sensitive ginger.
So, like, what did you give this one?
I give this one an A+. I would recommend this to, like, anybody. This is like, I mean, it's like a perfect romance.
Right. So maybe next time I want, like, a male since I, like, took the plunge.
This is like I feel like this is at the top of the list for like, if you look up like male romance on Goodreads, it's at like the top of every single list.
Okay.
This is like the one. It's like the one that you have to read.
I mean, you like it better than Forbidden Rumspringa?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No, like Forbidden Rumspringa was good, but it wasn't like the best male romance I've ever read.
Okay.
I mean, like.
Right.
I also really liked You by Elle Kennedy and Serena Bowen. I would put that up there as like a really great one. But like this was fantastic.
You're like,
I think it also helps that it was like written by a gay male.
True. So like it's more realistic than the ones that are like written by like a straight female.
You know, some of the like emotional issues that they're going through are a little bit more.
Oh yeah. Didn't you like read this guy's bio and it was like amazing?
Yeah.
The author's bio.
Yeah. He said something about like growing up in like the asshole of like.
Something
Republican and
he,
country or...
right and he was saying like he's like all the things he's done and stuff and it was like you're reading out loud to me and it was it just sounded like so great.
Yeah,
like his like he had like a lot of bravado and I was like good for him.
Yeah.
So Hothead by Damon Swade, you're like emphatically recommend it.
A+.
Okay.
I am so excited to talk about The Swooniest Sweetest Friends to Lovers Ever, Before Jamaica Lane by Samantha Young.
Nate and Olivia are best of platonic friends until she asks him to teach her how to date and how to have sex. Can things ever go back the way they were once they cross that line?
The doing it in this book is at 50%.
Yeah, we love this series by Samantha Young, but I think that this is our favorite. We cast Nate like in our heads as like our darling Tom Hiddleston.
Yes.
Because he's and just like so mind, charming.
Well, in my mind, Olivia was Mindy Kaling.
Yeah, I can totally see that. And can we just talk about how like Mindy Kaling is pregnant right now?
What?
We talked about this, didn't we?
No.
Mindy Kaling's pregnant and she's not saying who the father is. I thought we talked about this.
Oh my God.
She's like 5 months pregnant.
What?
She finally confirmed it.
What?
But Oprah was the one who like spilled the beans on her because they were working on that Wrinkle in Time together. So she's 5 months pregnant and she's not saying who the father is. But like, of course, like I'm like, is it BJ Novak?
Of course, but
right. Because like also, when that baby comes out, I'm going to be like super sleuthing the photos of it. She did an interview like a couple of days ago on like the Today Show or something. And she said the thing she's most looking forward to about parenting is that like before she hasn't been able to like vocally judge people's parenting
because
and now she can because she said she's really looking forward to it.
I love her so much.
I love her too. Mindy Kaling is like my favorite.
She is my favorite. Her books are really great too.
Yeah, I really enjoy them. Okay, so I guess we should get back to this book. Okay. We're really excited about Mindy Kaling having like a baby with a mystery man. Like she's playing it off like it was just like
it's so
just
much better than like January Jones having a baby with a mystery man.
Well, Mindy's playing it off like, yeah, like, oh, I just got pregnant. Like, oops, I got pregnant.
And I love that.
And she's not saying who it is.
Good for her.
Remember when she like went on that date with Cory Booker? Maybe if it's like, what if it's like Cory Booker's baby?
Oh my God. And what if Cory Booker runs for president?
And they have like this beautiful, like multicultural family.
But it's the secret president baby.
It is like the secret, like JFK, all of JFK's secret babies.
Oh my God.
I'm like really pumped. I could have sworn we talked about this.
I love Cory Booker.
I really thought we talked about this.
We have never talked about this.
Okay. I know I talked about it with Suze. Okay, so let me talk about this book.
Okay.
So in Before Jamaica Lane.
Yeah, so this is a friends to lovers book, and it's also like a Teach Me How to Dougie book.
Yeah, it's like,
oh, you can teach me how to have sex, and like, we won't let feelings get involved.
Right, like, we're just going to like,
you teach me how to have sex, so then I can like, take the training wheels off and go use it on a different man.
Right, so he's teaching her like, so Olivia's moved to Scotland from Arizona with her father, because her mom died, and she spent most of her high school like time like, taking care of her mom, so she never like learned about dating or having sex, and she's just like really, really awkward around the opposite sex, and she's like a little bit chubby, and she has like really bad self-esteem about it, and so she basically like, you know, blushes every time her crush comes in the room, and just like she has a crush on like some guy she works with or something, and like she can't even talk to him, and Nate is like just so charming and like super outgoing, and
he's like total ladies man.
Yeah, I think that like, you know, that Olivia like remarks that like he doesn't even have a type. He just like loves all the ladies.
Yeah.
He doesn't care what they look like.
He's like very well dressed but like he's also like comes over, they watch TV all the time. He's just like her best friend.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed this book because like they have like a lot of like things in common. Like they like genuinely like each other because they like the same things, and they're like super nerdy together, and it's not just this thing where they're like they're together but you can't like figure out why they friends. Would be together.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so after like, you know, finally she like asked him, you know, like, teach me how to like date, teach me how to like be good at this, and he's like,
show me how to be sexy.
Right. And then he's, I think it's him who suggests like, you know, since we're doing this,
might as well like
teach you how to like have the sex.
Yeah.
And so they start like, it's like when they start having like, you know, student teacher sex, it's like really, really hot.
Yeah, it's great.
But they think they can keep their emotions out of it,
which, you know, dun dun dun,
they can't.
Spoiler alert.
But like they're having like all this like sex, and like not telling their friends about it because they're like in like a
big friend group of the whole other
right everyone from all the other books. Yeah. Right, and they're not telling their friends about it,
and Nate has like serious like emotional commitment issues from like spoiler shit,
right, which it's one of dumb. Our least favorite tropes. Right, but he does have like
hint
he loves her, but like
he won't admit it,
and he won't commit, like he's still like insisting that like, you know, we're just friends who are like sometimes we have sex.
Yeah.
But he's, like, really, like, sweet about her body, and, like, he's, like, really, like, positive about her curves.
He was very, like, you know, like, look in the mirror, tell me what you see. This is what I see.
Right.
He's just, like,
He's like men like curves. Like men like it when you're like, you know.
Yeah, he was very much like get like very body positive.
Right. And he actually like he told her, which I think is like really good, like solid real world dating advice, is like don't talk shit about yourself to like guys that you like.
Yeah.
Like don't be like, oh, I'm so fat. Like, yeah, just like be confident because. Right. Like if the guy wouldn't be talking to you if he didn't like you.
Right.
This is like our dating advice podcast. Use condoms. Don't fuck Nazis. Don't talk shit about yourself. Anything else we should add? If you're going to send like sexy selfies, don't include your head in the picture. Because I could end up on the internet if you ever want to run for political office.
But this one was real charming and it had like just a nice resolution and I don't know. I loved this book.
I mean, he's like a beta hero.
We're just covering books that we liked so much. Right.
So our last podcast, we basically like just talked so much shit.
Yeah. And except for that one book that we liked.
Right. But like, and this time we're just talking about like all these books that we like really love. And like, we're all like, we're happy and gushy. It's like it's a whole new world. I mean, I definitely think this is one of those books that like I'd recommend to anyone who's like trying to get into romance or needs just a really sweet summer book or wants something that hits like those emotional points.
This is on my list of like, you know, people are like, oh, I need a romance to read. I'm like, okay, here's my top 10.
Really?
You know,
I want to ruin my friend and I don't want her to be able to read Jonathan Franzen anymore.
Here's For Jamaica Lane.
Yeah, this is like an A+ book.
Yeah, absolutely. Our last book today is also the last book in one of our favorite series. This is On Broken Wings by Chanel Cleeton.
A hot fighter pilot and his best friend's widow. It's complicated.
Doing it in this book is at 52%, which was actually earlier than I expected it to happen because it's very emotionally
fraught. Yeah, I haven't read this one yet. I read 1 and 2 and I read them in order. I know. And I just loved both of them so much. And like
So I know you're going to read this one, so I don't want to spoil it for you. Yeah, I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Right. But I mean, you can give me like some details, but.
I mean, I know you read the other two, so you kind of have like.
Right. I mean, I'll read it either way because I love these books and I love Chanel Cleeton's.
Like, so this is a series about all these fighter pilots, like really super stupid hot fighter pilots.
Like a squadron of like hot guys, like in Top Gun.
You're
like,
yeah,
when
they're, like, yeah. When, and they all have playing, like nicknames, the homoerotic like,
volleyball like scene.
Viper and Duck and
right.
Goose. And
Goose is like not like a sexy name. And then, no. And then spoiler alert for Top Gun, guys, Goose dies. It's
well,
really sad.
So also in this series,
someone dies,
and it is the husband of our heroine in this book. So in the last book, no, two
first book,
the first book, Joker, who is the squadron commander, dies while out on a mission.
Right.
And
it's really awful. And like the entire squad is like pretty ripped apart. And
it's really tragic.
And that's kind of one of the themes too, like in the second book with the hero of the second book, is that his friend's death is kind of like,
yes,
just unmoored like, him. It's made him like rethink like his whole life.
Yeah. But meanwhile, so Danny, his widow, Easy, who's the hero in this book, has been in love with Danny since like the very first moment he ever saw her. And the very first moment he ever saw her was at like some, you know, fighter pilot mixer. And she was already with Joker. And like he looked at her and he was like, I'm in love with that girl. And then he turned and saw her husband, who was his commander. And he was like, well, fuck.
Right.
So he's just been like strictly platonic.
Like, but he's always been like a really good friend to her.
He's super respectful. And like he's been like her best friend. He's been like, you know what? I'm just going to keep this on the straight and narrow because, like, I am not going to.
And in the other books.
I'm never going to go there.
He's kind of like a playboy in the other
he's
books.
He's a
and
total
he's like
playboy.
Sleeping around.
He sleeps with everybody.
Right. You know, and he's like charming and hot. And,
you know, because he's like, you know, it'll never happen. I'm never going to go there. I'm never.
Do they call him Easy because he's easygoing or like easy to get in the sack or both?
I don't know.
Okay. Maybe we can ask Chanel Cleeton.
Maybe it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
So Joker dies, and of course, like, Easy feels, like, incredible guilt about this because...
He's been lusting after his wife,
and he's been one of Danny's best friends, but all of a sudden he just disappears because he's like, well, I can't even be around you. I have to give you your space. Like,
and I'm sure, like, he's probably like, well, she's available now, and, like, some part of his brain is probably like, I could have that now.
Well, he doesn't...
want to feel that way.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like a year later and he realizes that she's like pretty fucked up and she needs like her friends. So he steps back into her life to be like a good friend, and he like offers to help her fix up her house so she can sell it and move, and like he's just,
and like move on with her life, and like,
yeah. And so he's just like doing friend shit,
just friend stuff.
He's just doing friend stuff.
Netflix and chill.
Little bit of Netflix,
no chill,
no chill. And you know, it just gets like, it gets like super complicated.
And it, I mean,
it gets like super complicated.
Was it good? Did it make you cry?
I don't think it made me cry.
Okay. Did it make you feel like emotions?
It made me feel like a lot of emotions.
Okay.
This whole series made me feel a lot of emotions. They're, I mean, they're just all wonderfully written. The characters are all like, I mean, they deal with these things that are like actual problems that you're like, wow, that would be a real hurdle.
Right. They're like real grown-up problems, and I feel like they deal with them in real grown-up ways.
They don't just come up with some magic wand solution. It's like, right. No, that's an actual, somebody had to make
a sacrifice. Yeah,
there wasn't just this perfect solution where somebody got this like magic job and it was like, right, a magic wand that, you know, took, right, care of everything. Like, what was that? Oh, well, never mind.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. But yeah, like, I definitely enjoy, like, when I read the first book, I think that's even one of the things that I texted you, is that like, these are like, they just seem like such real grown-ups.
Yeah.
And I know I've been having a hard time recently. Like, I can't read any YA anymore. I've even been having trouble with like NA, just because like, I'm old now and like everyone seems so young. So I'm kind of just really delighted when I read these books where I'm like, this is like a real grown up.
Yeah.
Making like real life decisions.
Yeah.
And doing it in a way that feels real and really smart.
And they're kind of hard and.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah, you feel that like emotional weight of what they're doing.
Yeah. But, you know, everybody like ends up pretty happy at the end.
Right. But her next book is going to be like a real book, like real fiction.
Yeah. It's
1 year in Havana, I think.
Something in Havana.
Yeah. And we're going to definitely read it.
It's $10.
We're going to read it anyway.
I pre-ordered it.
Yeah. It's worth it.
The cover looks really pretty, guys.
Yeah. So I think it'll be like our real book for the year.
Is it a real book?
It's a real book.
It's not a romance?
It's not a romance.
I think there might be a romance in it.
So I've asked on her, like, in, like, her writer group, and she said that it's fiction. There are some romance in it, but that's not, like, the...
Okay.
It's not the main through line. It's a real book.
Lisai.
We're going to do it. We can read a real book.
We can. I know. I just really love her romance.
Oh, I know. I hope that, like, she's going to keep giving us romances, because...
I know.
I wish there were more of these.
I know. I can't see where she would go with this series at this point.
Yeah, I mean, she can give us something else, though.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely, like, you know.
So pick up this series. Start at the beginning, because they're all
even just... I will say you should, like, probably read this one in order, because a lot of the, you know, the characters affect each other and a lot of the storylines from the beginning.
Did you just say read it in order? Yeah,
I have told you. If the storyline, like, if there's actual, like, storyline stuff, like, I wouldn't tell someone to read Game of Thrones out of order, or, like, even, like, The Hunger Games out of order, like... There's been other romances that I've told people they should read in order. I can't remember what they are, but there have been like some that I've advised it.
Rolling my eyes at her right now.
Whatever. But we love these books. So
they're really great. So what did you give this one?
Oh, I didn't read it.
You didn't read it. I gave it an A.
I gave the other two A's.
Yeah, I gave this one an A. So pick it up. It's On Broken Wings by Chanel Clayton. But the first one is Into the Blue.
Yeah.
And then it's Fly With Me.
And they're all like super good. Yeah. So buy them.
We don't have time to talk about every book we love, but we wanted to at least mention The Pact by Karina Halley, which is a real standout if you're looking for more friends to lovers books.
Yeah, that was the first Karina that I read, and you recommended it, and I was just blown away. It's so wonderful.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Also, An Exaltation of Larks by Suann Le Cur is an amazing multi-layered, multi-generational love story that we think everyone should read.
It's more along the lines of like a real book than a straight romance. And there's a second book coming out, I think soon, right?
A Charm of Finches, right, which I think comes out in December.
But this book, January. Like, I cried like multiple times. Like, it, like,
I want to buy a copy of this book and then I will send it to you.
Right. It's so good.
Send me your email address and I will like send it to your Kindle, because this book, it was so good. I want everybody to read it.
Yeah. And like Mara White gifted it to us.
Yeah. So and I want to like pay it forward. If you really want this book, like message me in the Book Shame Book Club.
Right.
And like maybe I'll just send it to you, because it was so great. And also there's another book called An Exaltation of Larks by some dude.
James Lipton. It's not the same one.
It's not that book.
Right.
It's the one by Suann Le Cur that has, it's like a red cover with like birds on it.
Yeah. So.
But it's really fantastic.
I think that was like my, I think I read that like at New Year's. It was like my first book of the year or something.
Yeah. It was my, it's my book of the year.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Also, the billionaire's favorite mistake.
You tell me to write that.
Oh, yes, by Jessica Clare.
That's your note, you guys.
I heard the title and I was like, what is this book?
You guys, I do like the bulk of the scripting, and like sometimes Elle tells me to make notes.
I just yell things out.
Yeah. And she just looked at the notes and she was like, what is you, bitch, what's this? And like, yeah. I just put this on the sheet last night, guys.
No, The Billionaire's Favorite Mistake by Jessica Clare was great. It was okay. It was like this girl's had a crush on her best friend forever, and like then, you know, he gets pregnant.
Is he a billionaire?
Yeah.
Okay. But and like, is the baby the mistake?
Yeah.
But then he loves it, so it's his favorite mistake?
Yeah, but like he realizes he loves her, but she was like, dude, you're so bad at sex. Like, I hate you.
Oh.
It was really good.
That sounds great.
Yeah, she like hates him.
Nice.
Yeah. Also, Unknown by Wendy Higgins. It's her first new adult series. She did the...
I haven't read anything of hers.
Okay. She did a series with like demons.
And... Okay. Like, the name sounds really familiar.
It was, like, a YA series. But this is, like, aliens come to Earth. It's really good. It's really good.
Maybe we can talk about that one, like, in, like, our sci-fi podcast.
So there's this girl. She's, like, she's been in love with, like, you know, the boy who grew up next door forever. And, like, he shows up home with a new wife who's pregnant.
Gross.
Just when like aliens are invading.
Maybe we'll talk about this and we'll do like a sci-fi podcast or something.
So that one was really good too.
Okay. Thank you guys for listening. If you're enjoying this podcast, you should tell your friends, tell your mom, tell anyone that you think can handle like how many times we say cock.
We're reading a bunch of books about dirty priests to get ready for our next podcast. So you're definitely going to want to tune in for that one.
And you guys can leave us a review on iTunes because we're like so into those.
And you can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and our blog, mybookshame.com, or come hang out and chat with us in the Bookshame Book Club on Facebook.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. We'll see you next week when it's priest time.